Chocolatier Lola Valerius is more of an artist than a chocolate maker. Driven by the desire to produce quality products than simply a delicious treat, she has created a brand that people know and love really well. When you receive a box of Lola's chocolates, you know that the gift giver has not just stopped at a supermarket on the way, but rather they have gone out of their way and thoughtfully gone into the store to choose a box of handmade, artisanal pieces of edible art just for you. In this interview, we dive into the highs and lows of creating a business like Lola's. So today's guest is Lola Valerius. Is that how you pronounce her name? And she is here to talk to us about her chocolate business, which has taken Esch by storm, but also Luxembourg City. A lot of people speak about your chocolates being like art, basically. So welcome to the show. Thank you so much for joining us, Lola.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a great pleasure.
And tell us a little bit about your shop and the concept behind it, please.
Okay, so I have a real chocolaterie. So we only do chocolates, but yeah, chocolates in very different kind of products. We are very small shop, so it's everything is made by hand and homemade also. We try using the best products to get the best outcome in the end. And so we're a really small team of four people. Mm-hmm. And everything is produced in the shop where we also sell it, where there's a small coffee corner where you can sit down, eat some chocolates and enjoy a coffee. And we even have now a small terrace in front of the shop because it's in a pedestrian street. So that's really nice.
And the chocolate, how do you say that? It's a chocolaterie.
Yeah, we like the shop is called the chocolaterie.
Okay.
Which you have like pâtisserie, boulangerie.
Okay.
It's a chocolaterie. So it's everything's based on chocolate. And our like main product are like chocolate bonbons. The French could call it praline. And yeah, in Luxembourg, it's called Knipperscher.
Okay. You opened your store in 2021?
Yes,
is that
exactly
right?
Yes. Around Easter last year.
Yeah. Okay. Was that just when COVID was?
It was in the middle of like a kind of the lockdown of all the bars and restaurants. They
right.
were all closed. So it was like a half lockdown with the, like, I don't know how you call it, where you had to be home at 11.
Oh, curfew.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was still that time
yes.
with curfew. And I worked like really long hours. So sometimes
yes.
I got home at 1 o'clock and I was like always scared to see policemen and then have to explain that I worked until now.
Yeah. When you were launching your store, did that make you anxious?
Not at all.
The COVID, no.
Because it was based on a shop concept, not really on a bar or coffee shop thing. It was
mm-hmm.
like really about a selling place.
Mm-hmm.
So that was fine because I knew that I could let the shop open.
Mm-hmm.
And like people always like chocolates, especially when they're
True.
Not feeling well.
True.
They want even more chocolates.
Yes.
So that was all good because I could open my shop and like sell my chocolate.
Yes.
Never mind what was happening around. The only thing what was kind of complicated was the construction side.
Okay.
Because obviously like they had a lot of trouble with manpower and then material, everything took forever. But other than that, the opening was perfectly fine. Like,
mm-hmm. Okay, so let's start from the beginning. Have you, well, I feel like this question doesn't work in this case because chocolate is someone that all kids love. I was going to say, have you always loved chocolate? But I spoke,
no.
Oh, you haven't?
No.
Okay,
no,
tell me more.
Not at all. So I grew up with a kind of sugar-free diet.
Okay.
Like my parents don't really eat a lot of sweets or chocolates.
Mm-hmm.
So we kind of never had it at home. So I just didn't know it.
Yes.
It was not that they said, no, you're not allowed to, but we just never had it home. So I never ate it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was four, we were at a kid's birthday party and there was like this huge chocolate cake. And I asked my mom, can I have a piece? And she was like, yeah, of course. And then I got a piece and I tried the first bite and I went to her and I was like, that's not really good.
Mm.
And so from that point on, like all kind of sweets and especially chocolate were like, it was done for me. I never really had this connection to sweets or chocolate. And so I kind of started like baking at university. That's how I came a bit in connection with the...
Also it wasn't
pastries.
Like it was always at home and you were always having...
I used to bake a lot with my grandma. Like everybody bakes with the grandma, like these really simple cakes, like marmor cake or whatever. So that was, that was part of my childhood, but I was never that attracted to... Well, I grew up next to a bakery, so I sometimes went there and they would show me like the basement where they had the production and so. But even until now, chocolate is a kind of material for me because it's a craftsmanship, like being a chocolatier. And like other people would use wood or metal and I use chocolate to do my work. I appreciate good chocolate a lot, but like mostly dark chocolate. I only eat dark chocolate. And yeah, I think you don't need to be the biggest fan of eating chocolate to make good chocolate because it's a food and I love food. And so I try to combine the flavors that I love in food and put them into chocolate and it works. it's fine.
Yeah, evidently. Yeah. How did your interest into patisserie and chocolate start then?
So when I was at university, I studied architecture in Vienna. And at some, like we were a really small class of 18 people. So it was kind of like a family. You spend more time there than at home. And we had a really long, like was at the end of term. So it was crazy. It was finals. And so I baked a cake to make people happy, kind of. So I brought it. Everybody loved it and was like, okay, I want to do this more often. Then I bought books because I wanted to learn more. And I'm like a really, how do you say that? I like competing and I like being the best. So when
you're competitive.
When I start something, I want to do it perfectly well. So I bought all these books to learn and then I made more and more and more. And yeah, when I was done with my bachelor's in architecture, I knew that I didn't want to continue that because it made me sad sitting in front of a computer the whole day. I really wanted to do something with my hands. And so I did an internship in a pastry, like not really shop, but like catering pastry. Yeah. And it was really, really nice. But for me, it was kind of depressing to have to go to bed so early because I used to do a lot of sports and then I would miss out on practice because that was too late for me to go to. And then I started like overthinking and like, should I really do it or not? So I did a few more internships in graphic design and stuff. But then in the end, I was sure, okay, this is, I really want to do the pastry job. And I worked a bit in Luxembourg and I went to Paris to do my pastry degree. And from that, I worked a bit around the world. And at some point, I like kind of discovered chocolate and was like, okay, this is way cooler than pastry. And I kind of specialized then in chocolates and did a lot more courses in chocolates. So.
Was the goal always to open a shop or did that just sort of happen?
Yes. No, no, no. That was always the goal. Like from the minute, like I think I come from an entrepreneur family. Like there's a lot of people that have their own businesses. So I'm kind of, I grew up with this mindset.
Okay.
And I'm not really made to work for other people. I have so many ideas in my head and I just, want to develop them and not having to discuss with someone about it. I just want to do it.
So do you work better alone?
No, I always need a team. It's impossible to work alone. The teamwork is really important, but in the end, it's my decisions. And if they don't work, it's my fault, but at least I tried.
Yes.
Obviously, we have a lot of, like, sometimes I have an idea and then we discuss it within the team. Maybe some people have some input to make and, like, I'm not taking all the decisions by my own. I love to have input and I ask people for their opinion. But yeah, in the end.
And using your name for the brand, was that a decision that was difficult or were you pretty sure that it would be your name?
No, it was kind of an easy decision because I didn't want to have it like a, I don't know, I didn't want to have a weird chocolate name. So, and I think my parents did quite good with my... my name. Yes. So I was like, why not use it? Because it's my shop and it's my face in the end. So it can also have my name. And I think people feel more related to a name than like just any brand's name. So for me, it was easy.
Does it come with a certain pressure? Because it's your name, there's nowhere to hide, really.
A bit, but due to the fact that it's my company to 100%, the pressure is anyway on me. So I think that doesn't change that much.
Mm-hmm.
People have another connection to the brand because they feel like now they know me mm-hmm. because it's my name and they buy it. So they kind of have this connection to me,
mm-hmm.
which is nice.
You're so sure of yourself. You come across as someone who really, really knows what they want.
That's facade. No, just kidding. I try to. I think you have to, because if you're too insecure and you don't know where you want to head with your company,
yes.
it's going to be really hard.
Yeah.
Because there's so much happening around you that you have to kind of, you have a path where you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have your ideas clear and sorted. Otherwise, you're going to get lost. There's so much happening around you that you kind of have to have an idea what you want to do and how.
I imagine also we're now speaking at a point where you've seen success in your store. Before the store opened, the process to open a store, would you say that you were in a different position and maybe a little bit more nervous? Was it a difficult time to begin the store?
I still have that now. Like, it's not that I'm like really... Yeah, I try doing my best and I hope that it works. But obviously, you always ask yourself questions. Every time it's like a holiday and you do a special edition, you always wonder, like, will people like it? Will they not like it? And then mm-hmm. I have different tastes than my customers, for example. So I need to find a middle in between their ideas and mine.
How do you get feedback from your customers?
I think the best compliment is them posting stuff on social media and saying that they really liked it. Then other people, like when you see customers coming back, obviously they liked it, otherwise they will never come back.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people write me, or when I see them or in the shop, clients come and tell us they were happy.
Mm-hmm. And that's obviously extremely useful to you.
Yes.
Knowing what they were happy with as well.
Yeah, so we have like from our main product, the chocolate bonbons, we have 12 flavors and we try to find something for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously not every flavor is going to be your favorite one, but maybe it's your neighbor's favorite one. So that's really nice.
Yeah. What's the, if there is a next goal, like what's something that you have planned?
So for me, it's important to keep the quality. That's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I decided that, like, for me, the company should stay on a smaller scale, because in my opinion, when you grow too fast, too big, you can't keep the quality
mm-hmm.
because there's just too many people working on a product. And at some point, I can't overlook everything and I don't want to be this control freak. So I need to have like people that really know what they are doing. And you can't do that when you grow too fast.
Yeah.
Because you won't have time to teach every person how it's done.
Sure.
So I kind of want to stay small business, like really. And everything, it's so important that we do everything by hand and homemade. And I want to stay like that. I don't want to have machines doing everything for us.
Mm-hmm.
Because it should be still a craft and not like industrial work.
Yes. Well, your chocolates are very much like they're artisanal chocolates.
Exactly.
They're not like mass produced factory.
And I want to keep it like that. But obviously I want to have a second shop in Luxembourg City. That would be like my dream. But
that's a dream.
It's kind of hard because it's so expensive in Luxembourg City. Like for a small shop, you pay maybe 20,000 euros a month.
Yeah.
Just for rent.
Yeah.
And then you still need to pay your people and everything.
Yeah.
So it's a bit complicated. But that's the goal. But I don't want to do it too fast because obviously the production in Ash needs to cope with this.
Yes.
Because when you have two shops, you need to produce as well twice the mass.
Mm-hmm.
So you need more people.
But you have it in your sort of future planning.
Of course.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to do it. But it has a huge impact on the rest of the company. It's just, it's not something like you open a second shop and it's done and that's it. No, you need more people. I need more people in production. We need more space because we need to store it somehow.
Mm-hmm.
So it has a huge impact on the whole company.
Do you do collaborations with shops and supermarkets?
No. And this has a really, like, that's my vision of the company, of the brand. It should be something that is accessible, but it should not be sold in supermarkets because I think the product would lose a bit of its value when mm-hmm. you can have it everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's a choice I made.
And yeah.
Also, still there, like, it's so important when you give your product to another person, you need to make sure that they store it correctly, that it's nicely presented. Like, because I take a lot of time to do packaging and stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and we invest so much time in the production of the product. So I want it to leave the shop really well. And yeah, maybe
it's a quality control thing.
Kind of. Yes. Yeah. But also hygiene, yes, and everything. It's, yeah, a lot of things to think about. And that's why I prefer having them in my shop and not everywhere.
Understandable.
Yeah.
What has been the biggest challenge in this business?
I think sometimes it's really hard for people to accept that I'm a young woman, and I look a lot younger than I'm actually am. I'm like 31 and people think I'm like 21.
Oh, we're the same age, but I definitely thought you were younger.
So that's sometimes it's a problem, because some people don't take you seriously because they think, oh, this young girl, she has no idea what she's doing. We need to help her. Mm. So that's sometimes hard. But other than that, I think I'm quite lucky. I have really good support from my family. So if I need something, they're always there, and my friends. So that's nice. But it's like, it's a lot of work, obviously, when you start something from scratch. Like, they're really long hours.
How involved are you in the chocolate making?
Very involved.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very hands-on then.
Yes. And I want to keep it like that.
Yes.
Because I love my job as a chocolatier. Yes. And I'm not like, I don't know. I have to do the office job. Mm-hmm. I have to, but I don't like it. So if ever the company is growing more and there's more office work and I can't handle doing the production and the office at the same time, I just want to do the production and hire someone to do the office.
Yes.
Yeah.
When you told your parents that you were going to open a chocolaterie, I imagine that they were not surprised.
But it was not like announcing it to them. I think the question was never, it was obvious.
It was so obvious. Yeah. Yeah, I can see that with you. It must have been so obvious.
It was really obvious. It was like, I'm going to, like, at some point I said, okay, I'm not going to continue architecture. But they knew it within, because we talk a lot. And even within my studies, I wasn't happy. But I just want to finish it so I have a bachelor degree. And I could potentially do another master degree in something else. And yeah, then I said, I'm going to do pastry. And it, like, they were astonished because, yeah, we didn't eat much of these kind of things at home.
Mm-hmm. So
it did came as
a little unusual, yeah.
But yeah, they are fine. Like, as long as I do something, mm-hmm, they don't mind what it is. Like, they're really supportive. And then I was working in Paris. That was the last job I had.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a chocolatier, but it was a huge production. We were 16 people working there, and we made 4 to 5 tons of finished chocolate in a week.
Wow.
And that didn't make me happy.
Because it was mass produced.
It was mass produced, and you weren't working as a chocolatier, you were working as someone who operated industrial machines.
Right.
And that was not really satisfying.
Doesn't feel the same, does it?
No, and at some point I was like, okay, I'm getting paid really badly. I don't learn anything. I'm going to quit because this is just losing time.
Mm-hmm. And said you like to work with your hands. So,
exactly. Yes. But that's, for me, all these craftsmanship jobs are made for hand work. That's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay that you have the whole computers and systems that help you with your work, but they should help you, they should not take over your work.
Mm-hmm.
So I was really unhappy in Paris, and then I decided to quit and go back to Luxembourg and open my shop, because I have a lot of friends in Paris that studied with me at pastry school, so we met from time to time and then we talked, and I told them, yeah, I'm not gonna stay here because this is not the job I was looking for. And they was like, why aren't you opening your own shop? For them it was obvious that I should just go for it.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked a really long evening. In the end, I was like, yeah, actually, you're right. And I went back home. And then the tough part started.
Yeah.
Because I started looking for a shop in January. And then in March, there was the first lockdown.
Okay.
So that kind of pushed me back. And like, it's a really hard situation when you're fully motivated to start something. And then comes this pandemic and you just stop. From one day to another, and they say, you stay home. And I had a really hard time dealing with that.
Well, it was about to be a big chapter of your life, right? You were about to embark on something huge, and then something beyond your control kind of comes in and stops you.
Yes.
That's difficult.
And you didn't have any sense of how long this is going to take.
Yes.
So it was just like, you stay home and you don't do anything. And then you sit there and I was like, okay, now I need to find a solution because I can't handle this.
Mm-hmm.
And I started making chocolates at home. I was like, okay, so I'm just going to improve my skills and try to make new recipes. So at least this part is ready for when the shop opens. That's what I did. And I made so many chocolates and I just gave them to people and I drove them around the country just to get my head off the fact that I had to stay home.
Mm-hmm. So you're very entrepreneurial then. I can, like, that tells us that you...
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you need to test your product. Yes. So you need to give it to people before you start a business. You need
but
to
you
know if it works.
But you didn't waste time. You didn't let the lockdown kind of push you into
the corner. I tried not to. Yeah. It was like the first week I was really down and just staying in my bed. But yeah. After that, I found the motivation and then it was fine.
Mm-hmm.
And I took online courses. That was kind of a nice part of the whole lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's courses in the US, for example, I always wanted to take, but it was just so expensive to get there, pay a hotel.
And they offered them online. Yes.
And then they made them online. Yes. And that was perfect for me because I could take classes all over the world and just sitting at home. That was perfect.
I agree. That was a really nice perk to see more things available to online. So allowing us in Luxembourg to have access to other things.
Exactly. Yeah.
When you look back, because I think that the whole concept of having a degree and making sure you finish it, I think it's like something that's attached to maybe previous generations. When you look back, do you feel that it was very important to complete your degree, or would you have left earlier?
No, it was really important because this bachelor degree and my pastry degree led me to having an authorization to open my shop. If I wouldn't have had that, I would have done a lot more classes to be able to have the authorization to open my shop.
Interesting.
So it did help me. And then on the other side, obviously, I grew, studying abroad, living abroad. I studied architecture, so I learned a lot about all the computer programs, and now I can do my marketing nearly myself. I do a lot of designing. These are all things that I learned during my studies as an architect. And I think you grow studying. You grow living abroad. And I would do it the same way, exactly the same way. But on the other hand, I have to say that I'm not the biggest fan of our education in Luxembourg.
Mm-hmm.
We have this school system that is quite old-fashioned, I would say. Because they say when you're not good, you go to another high school where you learn how to be a chocolatier or pastry chef, but why should only people that are not good in school go there? That makes no sense.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to go to the higher high school, and there they just tell you have to go to university, but why do I have to go to university?
Mm-hmm.
And I think I never had the choice. Like, they don't give kids the choice of learning craft. Mm-hmm. They don't. It's like, you have to go to
university. You have to do that, yeah.
And I think you're way too young and they don't, like, you don't do internships or, you can't see the job if you start studying. So you just start studying a job that you think might be cool, but actually you have no idea.
In reality, what it's like, yeah.
And that's why a lot of people are shocked when they come to the real world of working and it's not at all how they imagine it.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, it would be nice if at the high schools they would give the students the opportunity to also see labor and, like, what else you can do as jobs, like not only go to university and study.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you learn how to become a pastry chef?
Yeah. And why can't you be really good at school and want to do something with your hands?
Exactly.
Why can't both things happen at the same time?
Yeah, but I think that's an idea that's engraved in Luxembourgish minds that are really old-fashioned, old school.
Mm-hmm.
And still nowadays, when someone wants to learn how to be, the parents are not very open for this kind of jobs. And I think it's sad. Because we need those people in society. Mm-hmm. You won't live in your house if you wouldn't have them.
True.
And everyday life, baker, the butcher, everybody has to learn it.
Yes.
And if no one wants to do it, they're going to disappear.
Yeah.
And we're going to have a huge impact on society.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to revalorize these jobs and give it more importance.
What's the biggest thing that you've learned in this journey?
Oh, that's a really hard question. For me, time has passed really fast. So it's just like, it's a journey. I'm like on the train and it just goes on and on. I don't really have time to reflect and rethink what happened. It just happens. Everything happens so
fast. So many people
say
that. They say that this podcast is the first time that they've stopped to reflect on what's happened.
It's that, yeah. So I would just say I've grown because I have to, like, it's not only, I'm not responsible only for myself, but for three more people that I have to pay their salary every month. So every decision I take impacts the four of us and not only me. So I think this responsibility is the biggest challenge and the thing I've learned the most about taking decisions and like believing in myself and doing what I think is best.
You would make decisions differently if they didn't rely on you.
Yes. Yeah, definitely.
You would be braver or take more risks or you'd probably be quicker to make a decision.
I guess it would be quicker.
Yeah.
But still not, I think I'm pretty good at decision taking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think I'm even faster now because if it would only be for me, I think I would say, yeah, let's talk about this in a month. Mm-hmm. Or like, yeah, not be so fast in taking them because now sometimes it's just pressure, time yes. pressure, and you just have to say this or that. And you can't reflect on it for 2 months.
Have you learned what your weaknesses are?
Yeah, I guess so. And then in the end, it's like, do you accept them? Do you do something to get rid of them? Do you avoid them?
What are they?
I think I'm having quite some trouble accepting people's opinions sometimes.
Okay.
But it depends on the people. If it's a person that also works and has their own business and knows what, like, it's different than from some random person that I don't know and that, like, sorry, but works for the state or it's different.
Someone that you knowingly have professional respect for.
Exactly. I think that changes a lot because when you come from the same environment, when it comes to work, it's obviously you have another point of view than someone who comes from a totally different
mm-hmm.
surrounding background.
So you find it difficult to hear the feedback or?
No, not at all. It's just like sometimes people want you to change things because they think that it should be done differently. And then I try to explain and people just, yeah, they want it that way. But still, it's my company. So
your vision is so clear, isn't it?
It is. And it has, like, I think sometimes people forget that I made my mind about this for a really long time. These are not decisions I made in a night's sleep. No, they are really thought through. And everything I do has a reason. It's not for fun. This is not fun. It has a reason, a meaning, and no.
It feels like your mission to make chocolate is bigger than you. Do you know what I mean? It's like your passion for it. It's like, it's what's driving you and it's beyond anything else.
Kind of, yeah.
Right?
Well, I work so many hours a day that it's the center of attention of my life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's the secret to your success?
I think the quality of the product, but also the design,
mm-hmm.
it's both. Mm-hmm. But if one misses, people won't come back. Like you buy something really beautiful and in the end it doesn't taste good, you will never go back.
True.
It can taste as good as it wants. If it looks really bad, people won't buy it. Mm-hmm. So it has to have both. And for me, the most important thing is to buy high quality materials, as much as we can local mm-hmm. in Luxembourg, but not everything can be sourced in Luxembourg, like chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
And if you buy high quality, we say matière première. So this will lead to a good product in the end. Otherwise, you can't make it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my most important goal.
Who inspires you?
When it comes to chocolates,
or just
in general?
No, in general.
Actually would say my dad. It sounds a bit weird, but...
No,
yeah,
not at all.
I think my dad, because he always used to have his own... Like, he comes from the nightclub scene, and then he'd had bars, and he also worked here at RTL. Now he has his own art gallery. So it always, like, continues. And even if there's something, a failure, or something doesn't work as well as it should, yeah, next, we just continue. Mm-hmm. And I think that was always a good role model to have him. And I never really realized it, because when I was young, it was just, yeah, my dad works. But you don't put that much thought what he works and how he works, because it's just a part of your life. And then now that I have my own shop, and I kind of reflect on this and how he handled situations.
When you saw him working hard, I assume that meant long hours.
No. Well, he has, it's different, because when I was a child, they had to explain to me that my dad works, because he worked during the night when I was sleeping.
Right.
So he came home in the morning when I woke up. So we had breakfast together. I went to school. He went to bed, and he picked me up when school was over.
Okay.
So I was a lot with him, and we did a lot of things together. So, and then if he had to work, I would just go along and like be there.
But you were always prepared to put in the hours for your shop.
Yes. I'm prepared to do the hours when I know that it's worth it. And it's, and here it's definitely worth it, because it's my baby. All my friends are having kids. I have a shop. And so, yeah, I don't count hours. It's just, it's a natural thing to mm-hmm. do.
What do you consider to be living a successful life?
Being happy. That's for me the most important.
What makes you happy?
Being healthy, having like, having enough money to live and like having my family around me. But, and doing a job I like. I always feel sad for those people I see that even in a young age don't like their job and don't like waking up in the morning because they have to go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously I have days where I don't want to wake up. Everybody mm-hmm. has those. But yeah, every day is a new challenge and a new adventure. So that's nice.
You're not really chasing something materialistic, and you're not really chasing fortune.
No,
you're not chasing at all. Satisfaction, mm-hmm. fulfillment, aren't
yeah.
you?
Yeah. And that also really my job is kind of making people happy mm-hmm. because our whole production kitchen is behind glass. So I see the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so nice to see people that have like, their eyes are really shiny and they're so happy to see it. And we always have a small plate where people can try the chocolate. And then to see them happy.
I'm sure that goes down very well.
Yeah. It's so nice to see them happy and satisfied and that they like it. And then this, even if you have a really hard day and you see someone happy, it just keeps you going.
Did you get some support from the state when you opened your store?
A bit, yeah. It's not so easy. We have, I think the hardest challenge here is like, because we have the Chambre de Métiers and the Chambre de Commerce. And every chambre has their own things, like offices where you can go and seek help, but you can't take the other one's help. So it's kind of, you have to go to Chambre de Métiers or you have to go to Chambre
de Commerce. So you have to choose.
And they don't really talk to each other, I feel like.
Okay.
So that's a bit... It was hard, honestly. It was really hard to do all the administrative thing, paperwork. I felt a bit left alone, but I think COVID didn't help. I have to say that really, because so many people were doing home office. You couldn't reach anyone. That was complicated. I think in a, let's say, normal time, it would be much easier.
Mm-hmm. But you still received the support that you needed.
Kind of.
In a sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Could have been better. I think... They should help a bit more to have young people start in their work life, and especially if they want to open their own company, mm-hmm. there needs to be a bit more support.
Do you make time to relax and switch off?
I try to. Yeah. I'm getting better. In the beginning when the shop opened, I just couldn't. It was not possible.
Yeah.
And still now when there's holiday season, like Christmas, for example, I can't. It's just not possible. I have to work.
Yes.
I have my boyfriend who's very severe with me, and he always tells me, now you're off, now you sit on the couch and we're going to cook and eat, and you're not taking your laptop or your phone, and
I'm guessing
Sunday
that you
you're
need
staying
that.
Home. Yeah. I do. I actually, I really, yeah. really do. It helps a lot. Mm-hmm. But yeah, for sure, my personal life, private life, friends, sports comes short.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess that's more in the beginning.
I was going to say, do you see that as like this particular phase in your life, and that maybe the next phase?
I do. It's already a lot better than like this time. Around this time last year, it was totally different.
Yeah.
I could have never made an appointment with you. There was just no time.
Lola, this is literally like having a child. It's literally what they say. Like at the beginning bit, like I wouldn't even be able to sit here and have this interview with you now. But now he's 10 months old, I can be here and we can do this interview. You know,
it's the same thing.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it's a, you make a sacrifice when it comes to your personal life, but it's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm lucky because I have people around me, my family, my boyfriend, that support me 100% and that accept that I don't always have time. And so that makes it a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. Last question.
Mm-hmm.
What would you tell your 18-year-old self?
Don't worry. It's all going to be fine.
Were you worried at 18?
Yes, really. I had to redo a class and it broke me because I was so like, it kind of... My self-esteem was at that point like completely destroyed because I said, I'm never going to go get accepted at university or find a job because I missed a year.
Mm-hmm.
But and I for a really long time, I had no idea what I want to do later. And I feel a lot of young people have this where they don't want to know where they want to go. And the pressure in society is so high. How can an 18-year-old exactly know what they want to do with their life?
Yeah.
Like society accepts them to take a decision that should impact their whole life. So the pressure is enormous.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me sad because I see it now in my sister. She's also really, she has to decide and it's really hard to make that decision. Mm-hmm. So I made one. I studied architecture. I finished it. I decided, okay, I'm going to do something else instead. And I did it. Just do something. Don't sit at home and do nothing. And you'll be fine. You'll be fine. Now I'm 31 and I'm really happy.
I like that. Thank you for being so honest about that. And thank you again for coming in to talk about your chocolate shop. I can't wait to try it. And we wish you the best of luck. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.